today.
This is Free Talk Live as we kick off hour number three of the Thursday edition of the show. It is Ian here with you.
And Mark,
toll-free number, 1-800-259-9231. As always, you can bring up whatever you want. Once again, that's 800-259-9231. Plus, you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Everything there is totally free. We got calls holding. We're going to the phones and to the fun. Still to come, though, this story that we started last hour we didn't quite get through about how the government's crying. They're losing people. They want more people to take their jobs, but no one wants them. We'll explain more on the way here. But first, we go to Jeff in Ohio. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello, Jeff.
Evening, guys.
Hey there. What's up?
I'll do this quickly. I had a friend who was involved in 57 different litigations with the United States government.
Oh, boy.
And it was all based upon him trying to free himself, and his rights during these litigations. Like, he actually contested giving an oath of truthfulness before his court appearances because he said that he was a Christian. I don't want to get into the whole Christian debate, but he was a Christian, and based upon what the Bible said, that the truth was not in him, so he couldn't swear an oath of truth to the court. And he actually won that,
really?
Believe it or not.
So he won the ability to not get up on to get up on the stand without actually having to swear on a Bible?
Absolutely.
Wow.
And he had other litigations that were very convoluted, and he represented himself on everything. And I saw his paperwork, and he would have as many as 10 cases going at one time. And he would have to continue stuff, you know, and it was really crazy how he did this.
Yeah, crazy is the word I'm thinking, too.
But, well, he did it. I mean, he's a very intelligent person. And the one thing that was very disturbing was he said that after the Emancipation Proclamation freed the slaves from their slave owners, black people in this country were basically sovereign. And they should have remained so, but when they put in the Civil Rights Act, that made them, once again, property of the United States. And it has been decided, and you can go and research this. It has been decided in the Supreme Court, and I'll finish this thought, that if you are a citizen of the United States, it has been decided and basically written that it is no different than being a queen and her subject. It's looked at by the Supreme Court as the same.
So at what point do people become citizens? I mean, again, the 14th Amendment just sort of deems everyone...
when you receive your Social Security card.
But the Social Security card's relatively new. I don't think that was...
Yes, it's not mentioned in the 14th Amendment.
I'm certain that wasn't up then.
Before then, I think there was a... I can't remember the process he told me about, but I think it was when you pay your taxes, that had something to do with it, entering you into citizenship. And also, you know, the Social Security system entered you into citizenship. There was a bunch of different ways that they entered you.
Yeah, we've heard those claims certainly before. Of course,
yeah, I wanted to tell you one more thing.
No one, when they—I understand. We'll get to it. But no one, when they pay taxes, no one, when they've signed the Social Security form, has actually read any of the laws that apply to what it is that they are signing. So it could very, very easily argued that they weren't aware of what it is they were getting into.
And the 14th
Amendment does say, it doesn't say anything about Social Security or taxes, it just deems everyone so-called within the jurisdiction of the government as citizens, and I just think it's questionable at best.
I agree. And another thing that's very, your protection from the government is not physical protection. He told me that he also had been through this in the case law, and that it only protects you for the amounts of money that you can be sued for.
I don't understand.
Like, if someone wants to sue you, the government will set limitations on how much of you can be sued for, and they can protect you monetarily in that way. But he said that was the only protection that you got from the government.
Whoop-de-doo. Really, who wants to be a citizen? I mean, after we've learned what we've learned about citizenship, the idea that you owe an allegiance to this protection, which is what you just described, allegedly,
right.
Who wants to be a citizen?
Well, and another thing that was very disturbing is he said that he documented several times of cases that were won by people in the federal Supreme Court that weighed heavily in favor of citizens, and they would not print them in the law books so that they couldn't be presented as precedent.
And it really doesn't matter anyway. And there's plenty of interesting precedent that's on the that has been printed and is on the books. But if you try to bring it up in a court, the government, the judge will just say, "That's your interpretation. Overruled."
Exactly. Very corrupt.
Jeff,
very
appreciate
good.
It, man. Thanks. 800-259-9231. That happens over and over again. You can walk into a courtroom in America with an ironclad, easily understandable, mm-hmm. written in English decision by the Supreme Court. You can walk into any lower court in America with a decision, read it in front of the judge, and the judge will say, "That's your interpretation."
Yeah, we don't look at it that way.
Yep. 800-259-9231. Let's talk to Bill in Virginia on the Amplifier line. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hey, I just want to talk a little about the 14th Amendment.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to kind of like look at every single word as you read a sentence because, you know, these are legal documents.
Sure.
And it says, all persons born or naturalized in the United States, and that's the first time United States is ever, you know, listed in the Constitution. And then it says, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof.
So how do you determine whether or not you're subject to their jurisdiction?
Right. And I think that's part of what some people are trying to focus on when they're trying to say that you sign into something.
I see. Because, so you're saying that what Jeff was just communicating to us is that when you sign in to the Social Security system, when you sign in to whatever government agreement you're signing into,
whatever it is, I have yet to figure out, you know, how we get dragged into this. But it seems odd to me that they would need to include that little phrase. Wouldn't all, you know, citizens, wouldn't all people born and naturalized in the United States already be subject to the jurisdiction?
Well, no.
No, you could be outside of the country.
Well, no, and also you can't be subject to someone's to the jurisdiction of a government by and for the people if you have not actually consented to be subject to their jurisdiction, because this is supposed to be a government of us. We are supposed
right.
to have created this government. Therefore,
well,
the government cannot be above people.
I think that comes into play in the next half, where they say all those people that previously mentioned are citizens of the United States, and then again it says, and of the state wherein they reside. And I think there have been Supreme Court rulings where they say that you don't necessarily have to be a citizen of the United States in order to be a citizen of the state that you live in.
Yeah, that's true.
I could be a citizen of Virginia, yet still not be a citizen of the United States.
Hmm. Indeed. Because how can you become, how can you be under jurisdiction without consenting to the jurisdiction in a government of, by, and for the people? How can you?
Right. And I know that, you know, you brought up a very valid point, you know, what if all of these wacky conspiracy theories and stuff are true and blah, blah, blah. Who cares? What are we going to do about it? You know, what kind of effective action can we take in order to gain back our freedoms? And I was wondering perhaps if you guys have thought about that, if you could comment on, you know, some of...
Sure, go to the Free State Project and get together and fight against this.
It's our answer to just about everything, because it really does seem like the only effective way to do anything about it. I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in doing what the last caller's friend did, which is go to court for 10 years and fight the federal government over abstract legal terms that they're probably not interested in fighting about and learning all this about the law.
Sure, I understand that, but I mean, you know, like many people have said, the Free State Project is just the bus. You know, it's the only reason it exists is to get people into New Hampshire. What they do after that is up to them.
Okay, so what you would do then?
I'm kind of wondering what kind of ideas you guys had as to what you're going to do once you get there.
Well, what we'll do is we're going to pretty much focus on covering what everyone else does and bringing that message to the rest of the world as sort of a beacon of what's going on in the Free State.
But I'm sure that Ian will get himself thoroughly enmeshed in quite a few things that are going on in Keene, and I will probably, you know, try to pursue office or at least work on some people's political campaigns.
But specifically to address what Bill is asking about, this issue of citizenship and whether or not it's for real and who consented and all that, if someone could come up with some sort of a challenge to where, for instance, I don't know if putting a tag on your car would be part of this, if some sort of a refusenik challenge a civil disobedience that involved a citizenship debate to where it would be brought to a courtroom, to where all of us could rally behind this person, just like 20 people rallied behind Russell today, really draw attention to the issue in the press and in the public, and really start talking about this. I think that'd be the best way to do it. Thanks for the call, Bill. Appreciate it. 800-259-9231. You can take control of the airwaves. Jarvis is on the line. He wants to talk about the so-called social contract. This is your show. It's Free Talk Live.
Taking you to nonpartisan places you've never been to and leaving you there.
Do you think the country would be better off without the two parties? I mean, if we just got rid of that little D and that little R next to the legislators' names, would the sky fall? I can see almost no downsides to something like that and a ton of potential advantages for America.
Common Sense with Dan Carlin, the opinions of a new generation. Get the MP for your podcast at iTunes or go to dancarlin.com.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimony of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Check engine lights? Got you all steamed up? Could be a TSV will cool you down. And I'm not talking about a tepid sponge bath. When I come back, you'll be awash in the knowledge of TSVs and their meaning. Ah, spring, birds, flowers, and that blanket of pollen fuzz on your car. There's got to be a way to protect that shiny paint of your ride. And there is. A car cover made from the standard in car cover fabric, Block It by Kimberly Clark. Research shows that car cover owners are so happy with their car covers, they'd buy them all over again. So make sure you get the best Block It car cover fabric from Kimberly Clark. Why have you waited so long? Block It by Kimberly Clark. Car trouble can get us hot under the collar, but TSBs can help break the fever in the service center. Issued by vehicle manufacturers, TSBs fill us in on fixes for design issues discovered after a particular vehicle model rolls off the assembly line. While manufacturers may or may not cover the cost of problems in cold hard cash, the TSB info alone can identify problems that could be frustrating and expensive to find. Both dealers and independent shops have access to TSBs, so talk to your technician. A little research may show that your vehicle qualifies as a recall, and you could qualify for a refund. How cool is that? I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Block It by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Block It fabric's got you covered. That's Block It by Kimberly.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It is your show, and you can bring up whatever you want. Toll-free number is 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. Do you want to be a citizen? If so, why? 800-259-9231. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. You'll find all kinds of great stuff there, and it's all totally free, including archives. An entire year's worth of the show awaits you right there on the front page of the website. Go grab them up. Totally free. FreeTalkLive.com. Plus, Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project. It's your only choice for more personal freedom and smaller, less intrusive government. To learn more about joining the Second American Revolution, go to FreeStateProject.org. Again, FreeStateProject.org. As we go back to the phones and to the fun, to Jarvis in Pennsylvania on the Amplifier line, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Jarvis. What's on your mind?
Before I got into the social contract thing, I just wanted to congratulate you guys for winning the podcast award.
I'm so happy.
It wasn't us. It was you. I mean, it was you guys that went and voted for us. Without you, we wouldn't have.
I was hoping that voting every day for you would come bear fruit for you.
Yeah, thank you so much,
Jarvis. It makes a big difference for us. So go ahead with your topic, sir.
I think if I understood you correctly, you're saying that there is no social contract in the U.S., or maybe that there shouldn't be. I'm not quite sure.
How could there be? I mean, there's not. The socialists insist that it exists. The socialists insist that there is a social contract, but I never signed it, and nor did you. Did you?
Well, first, I think that's an invalid argument. I mean, there's a lot of implicit contracts that you enter into all the time. You know, if you order food in a restaurant, you have an implicit contract with the restaurant that you're planning on paying for it at the end of the meal. You don't need to sign something to agree to that. That's implicit in the fact that you ordered the meal.
Well, I mean, you ordered and consumed the meal. I don't even know if that's necessarily an implicit contract as much as it's just stealing. You know, taking things that aren't yours is stealing.
Yeah, and
he's saying it's implicit that if someone gives you...
Wrong, right? You've implicitly agreed to that. An agreement is a contract, right?
Correct. An agreement is a contract.
But in that case, I did agree. I went into the restaurant, I sat down at the table, I placed an order, and then I ate the food. In the case of the government, I did nothing.
I agree.
I was born.
But I'm just saying that not signing something is not a valid argument.
Fine.
Absolutely.
There's agreements you enter into without signing.
There are verbal contracts,
but certainly. In the example,
but they are agreements.
In the example you're giving, Jarvis, you can identify the parts to this implied the contract. You enter the restaurant, buy the stuff, or order the food. It's brought to you. You consume it and you pay.
There's a menu, and it has a price on it.
So if we can identify all of those parts of that process, then we should be able to identify what's in this social contract.
Sure. And in fact, I would say that you already identified what's in the social contract. You read it on the air a couple weeks ago.
That social contract was a joke made up by a libertarian.
Yes. And it was classic. It was great.
Yeah, that's funny.
So I think what I object to is not that there is a social contract, but that is the social contract. That the social contract is such an, abominable thing. I mean,
yeah,
it's terrible.
They're ambiguous.
Right,
right?
And it's worse.
And you and I...
Go ahead.
Sorry. I would say that you and I both want there to be a social contract in the United States.
No,
and that
I don't.
Is something like the non-aggression principle.
Oh,
our contract that we would want with everybody is that you do not initiate force or fraud against other people or their property.
Okay.
That's it. That's the entire contract that we would want everyone to agree to.
Yeah, that'd be
implicitly.
Nice.
You don't necessarily have to sign it, but just if everyone agreed to that, the world would be a great place.
Well, indeed. Yeah. Well, if we did have private property, we could make it so that people that came on that property would agree to something like that. It wouldn't be too hard to implement.
But what does even private property mean if there's no agreement as to the fact that it's respected by others? What does private mean without some kind of implicit agreement that private means that you have the moral authority to protect it? I mean, it has to be some kind of social agreement among people, and we want that agreement to be the non-aggression principle.
Great point, man. Thank you for the call, Jarvis. We really appreciate hearing from you. 800-259-9231. Yeah, absolutely. We want to spread the idea of the non-aggression principle. That is, the idea is that I will not advocate or initiate force upon someone in order to achieve a political or social goal. Simple. Very simple.
It's a good one. It goes deep, though. There's a lot to that little statement.
All right, 800-259-9231. So let's continue the story from last hour. Just to recap, Time Magazine, it's a puff piece, as you put it, Mark, and you're absolutely right. It's a puff piece for the government to talk about how great government jobs are and that you should take one, because there's going to be a lot of them available here pretty soon. According to Time, there's approximately 50% of government employees, federal government specifically, federal government employees that are going to be retiring over the next 5 years. In fact, 70% of the upper echelon government employees, the administrative bureaucrats, are going to be retiring. So, so 50% of the grunts, 70% of the administrators going away. And as this article points out, there's three factors involved here. The baby boomers retiring in droves everywhere. Second, anyone who went to work for the federal government prior to 1984 is grandfathered in under an old law that lets them retire at age 55, so they're bailing out, grabbing their pension as soon as possible. Third, a hiring freeze during the early 1990s left a gap, so there are not enough middle managers to replace the senior managers when they depart. Wait. Are you telling me the government can't even manage its personnel correctly?
They can't even hire people and pay them too much.
Some might assume that we're better off with a leaner government. And I would agree, of course. But that was the same picture FEMA was facing in 2003. The agency typically had 2,500 employees ready to respond. When Katrina hit, they were understaffed by 500. In addition, many of the 2,000 who were employed were clueless new hires. This has been repeatedly cited as one of the causes of FEMA's inadequate reaction last summer. Oh, so Mark, if FEMA had just had more employees...
Yeah, that would have made all the difference in the world.
Everything would have been fine. That's why there was failure. Oh, no, wait a minute. Government's inefficient. Government is clueless. Government is just piss poor at doing virtually anything that they attempt to do. That's why FEMA failed. It doesn't matter if FEMA had 50 employees or 500 employees. In fact, you could actually make an argument that if it had 50 employees, it would be more effective than if it had 500 employees. That argument could easily be made. But the fact is, either way, it's an inefficient bureaucracy. Bureaucracy doesn't have incentive to do anything to help anyone. Bureaucracy just bumbles around.
The evidence is clear. I mean, is all you have to do is look at what happened with FEMA last year.
So this puff piece.
And they're not ready for anything this year either.
That's true. We've actually talked about that this summer. It goes on. It says, imagine that same brain drain, as though the people in government are so brilliant in the first place, hitting 36 other agencies, such as the Social Security Administration. 3 million baby boomers will be applying for retirement benefits every year, but the Social Security Administration will have 40% less staff to process their claims. So, more longer waits for everybody.
Yay!
Maybe this could be a good thing. It may actually turn some people on to the fact that their government is virtually useless, and maybe they should give it a second thought as to whether or not they support its activities. It goes on, it says, what happens when the brain drain hits the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, which investigates internet fraud? Oh,
dear
no,
God.
There'll be hucksters everywhere! Or the Consumer Product Safety Commission.
Wait a minute. There aren't hucksters on the internet? Because I get this phishing stuff all the time.
Yes, of course there are.
The FTC is not doing anything to stop this phishing crap.
No, it's not doing crap. It just sits around. They sit around, like all the other bureaucrats, they sit around eating a bunch of donuts and pushing pencils all day, and then they collect a paycheck at the end of the week.
Yeah.
And thank goodness they're going away. In fact, I wish they would just disappear entirely. But this article, if these people were writing about the government disappearing entirely, they would be talking about how the world's going to crumble, about how everything's going to go to chaos, when in fact that wouldn't be the case. There's more details here. 800-259-9231. What about the Consumer Product Safety Commission? What will we do without them at full staff?
Dear God.
Do you remember when you could eat most anything and not worry about it? Or maybe weight management has always been a problem. Are you frustrated, burned out, and tired of fad diets and marketing gimmicks that don't really work? Do you want a proven system, a long-term solution, to live a healthier lifestyle and properly manage your weight? At WeCanTogether.com, our approach is different. We focus on the whole you, personalized for your unique body composition, individual needs, and personal goals, not the cookie-cutter approach offered by others. Join today and have direct access to real people that are certified health and fitness professionals. Now there is help you can count on. WeCanTogether.com is the most complete, comprehensive wellness and training resource available on the web today. Visit us now and receive your free membership. Go to WeCanTogether.com. That's WeCanTogether.com.
Dry, cracked heels used to be a real problem for me, especially in the summer when I wear sandals. My husband would say, "Your heels are like sandpaper." But then my podiatrist gave me Calyx ointment. It's diabetic-friendly and smooths cracked heels and calluses using natural enzymes. Calyx never stings or burns and made my heels baby soft. Now they look and feel great. If you have calluses or dry, cracked heels, try Calyx ointment. You can find it at Walgreens and Long's in the foot care section.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
The Bill of Rights is a term for the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, limiting the federal government's power and preserving the rights of the people. Each day, we gradually lose these rights that we are entitled to. We need to take a stand to let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. Today, you can take this stand. You can express your beliefs by wearing a new and innovative t-shirt available only through GCN. Each shirt is black with a redesign of the famous Don't Tread on Me Gadsden flag located on the front of the shirt. On the back is the Bill of Rights, printed in bold white text. Each shirt is $15 plus $7 shipping. Please send a check or money order for $22 along with size and the number of shirts being ordered to Libertees. That's Libertees. 447 Thompson Bay Loop, New Blaine, Arkansas, 72851. Or go to GCNlive.com to view this great shirt today. Sizes XXL and larger at $2. Arkansas residents at 8% sales tax.
Hello friends, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real hard to find all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. It is your show, and you can bring up whatever's on your mind. Toll-free number, 800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The Shrine of Female Listeners is there for you, with dozens and dozens of ladies from around the world who have sent us their validated photo, which means that in the picture, they're proving that they listen to the show. You can see what I mean by going to the Shrine for yourself at shrine.freetalklive.com. Again, Shrine. freetalklive.com. So Time Magazine's editors here, or their article writers, are bemoaning the fact that the government is going to be cutting jobs. People are not cutting jobs. They're going to be retiring in droves, apparently. It's a combination of factors, including the baby boomers and some stupid government bureaucracy and some of their dumb rules that have factored in over time to make it so that within the next 5 years, all of 50% of the federal government's workforce is going to be retiring.
Which sounds to me like a good thing.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing, too. But this article, as you pointed out, Mark, is essentially a puff piece for the government to try and encourage people to go work for Uncle Sam.
Go take the G5 test, or whatever those things are called.
Well, here's the rest of the story. Right now, 1.8 million people work for, I presume this is the federal government, because this whole article's been about the federal government so far, not including the military or the postal service. So excluding those two agencies, 1.8 million people are federal bureaucrats. The government will have to replace almost a million of them in the next few years, as many as already work at Ford, IBM, and the Bank of America combined. You might think hiring people's easy, but there are both cultural and bureaucratic obstacles preventing them from succeeding. For instance, three agencies, just three federal government agencies, tried an extreme hiring makeover to reduce, get this, to reduce the Kafka-esque process of getting a job.
I would say it's absolutely that.
Hiring a new employee at one of those agencies now only takes 53 steps.
Whoa.
Now, that's down from 114.
Oh, my God.
So they have cut the hiring bureaucracy steps in half, but it's still 53 steps. This is one of many pilot programs being tested, but none are being implemented fast enough to address the severity of the challenge. So it's like, they're trying to do something, sort of, kind of. They're not really implementing it quick enough for it to make a difference.
Well, they're bureaucrats. They don't really have any
incentive
to get people hired to fill their positions, because when they leave, tough.
Another pilot program has begun recruiting at six universities, only 1,946 colleges to go. Regulations also cap the percentage of... So the government's going to implode on itself, Mark. That's what's happening here. This is great. Regulations also cap the percentage of outside hires to top management roles, so we can't just hire those managers being laid off at General Motors. The cultural shift away from government employment has been even harder to change. While the private sector has boasted of its commitment to quality and efficiency, the public sector, also known as government, still has a reputation branded by that notorious phrase, good enough for government work. Indeed, as it should. It's shoddy.
Yeah,
their work is shoddy.
It is.
It barely even qualifies as work. So the best and brightest believe there's no excitement or pulse in federal service. And they're right. Even graduate schools that are supposed to train students for government can't convince them to work there. In 1961, Charles and Marie Robinson gave $35 million to Princeton's Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs. Well, it's their money, and they can do what they want with it.
Right.
But the purpose of them giving that $35 million was to ensure that its students are groomed specifically for government service. A couple of years ago, the Robinsons sued Princeton because the grad school only sends 12% of its grads into federal government bureaucracies. Everyone expected a spike in public service after 9/11, but it has not materialized. And by the way, I hate it when they use the term public service.
Yeah.
I hate that term, and I'm only reading it because it's in the article.
It's just inaccurate. It's not public service.
You're serving yourself with my money. That's what you're doing.
How are you serving me? I mean, you might be giving me a quote-unquote service in the sense that, say, a garbage man is a public service.
Mm-hmm.
He's picking up my trash, but I don't have a choice as to whether or not he picks up my trash. I can either have my trash picked up by him, or I can take it to the dump myself.
Plus, he's not a federal trash man. That's a local service.
No, I'm just saying, I'm just using the terminology public servant, because at least you see trash men on a weekly basis.
It says here, if the culture doesn't change, the necessary work will be contracted out to companies like Halliburton under the guise that the private sector is more efficient. And this article is so cynical. We'll all be footing the bill for that, it says. The truth is, the average, because they are right, they're not going to just cut down the size of government just because the employees aren't there. They're going to still, the bureaucracies, those who are in charge, are going to still want to meet their budgets so they can expand their budgets. And if they contract it out, it just means that their tyranny will be more efficient. That's all. The truth is, the average American would love one of these jobs, Mark. But they don't even think to look. Out of sight, out of mind. The government,
I think that's true.
The government will need to wake up to the modern age using recruiters and newspaper advertising. They might even need to run an ad during the Super Bowl. In fact, this may be the best time in 40 years to go to work for Uncle Sam. For once.
By the way, you know which will be the crappiest commercial during the Super Bowl?
The government one.
Yeah.
For once, you might be able to advance rapidly due to the vacuum at the top. Job security's rock solid, because you can't get fired.
Anything short of a bloody coup.
And the average salary for a federal employee? $62,000. They often pay your wage.
I've got some statistics here on what federal employees get, and it is just amazing how much these people get.
Bring it up in a moment here. These jobs are in every state. It says they often pay your way through college or forgive your school loans. These jobs are in every state. Only one in six is in Washington, D.C.
How do they forgive your school loans? I guess it's a federal...
If they made them.
Federal...
And despite what you might imagine, federal workers are very proud of the contribution they make to society. In a poll, 91% believe they do important work. People with every imaginable skill are needed. Bookkeepers and lawyers and park rangers and meat inspectors. Many of these are better jobs than the private sector offers. A service worker for the feds isn't a fast food cashier. She's a police officer protecting public safety. A maintenance worker isn't a janitor. He's repairing airplanes. Isn't this amazing how they're trying to juxtapose government work versus private work and make it sound like it's better
it's
and
so
more
much better.
Important? and more more critical to the economy?
Please.
Shut up, you mindless socialist buffoons. A government especially needs scientists. The feds employ so many scientists of every variety that it's their number one job category. Yes, there are even more scientists than paper pushers. Makes you wonder, what are we waiting for? Ugh!
It's disgusting.
What a despicable a propaganda puff piece. I love that word, Mark. Puff piece article.
That's all it is.
Ugh.
It's just gross.
800-259-9231.
It's like advertorial. I wonder what they paid for that.
Yeah, well, it's Time Magazine.
They probably didn't.
They're lockstep with whatever the government wants. And thank goodness, maybe Americans are finally figuring it out that government work is not rewarding, despite what 91% of bureaucrats say. Of course you want to believe you're doing something important. Otherwise, you'd believe you're a worthless waste of life taking up space somewhere. So, of course, 91% are going to say, yes, I'm valuable.
Of course, and it's a survey filled out at their annual review or whatever.
Oh, gosh. Let's talk to Cindy in Texas. Ladies first, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hey, Cindy.
Hi.
Hey.
What's on your mind?
Actually, you were talking about nobody wanting those government jobs. Well, you know how hard it is for a handicapped person to get a job in the private industry?
I don't know. What kind of handicap?
Very hard.
The local grocery store hires handicapped people.
Walmart hires retards.
A lot of people do, but it's very hard when you are blind.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
what's
where
your point?
I live, okay, mm-hmm. My point is that I wouldn't mind having one of those jobs. You're just giving me good news.
Uh-huh. Also, go out and get one, then. Be a bureaucrat for the rest of your life. Don't produce
actually,
a product. Don't produce a service.
To do with that. Why not make changes instead of just being a bureaucrat working in that system?
Good luck, Cindy. It's clear you've never worked for the government before.
Some people do.
Actually,
see, if you
I have. I've worked for the state.
You work for the state?
Yes, I have.
Uh-huh. And did you make a big difference? Did you make changes while you were in there?
I think I did.
Yeah? I want you to tell me about what you did. Hang on, Cindy. We'll come back to you. 800-259-9231. Because we've talked to people who went into government thinking that they'd reorganize things. They'd make a difference. They'd make that bureaucracy more efficient. And then they were just totally dullardized by the system. More on the way. This is your show. It is
Stopped
Free Talk
every corner.
Roswell, UFOs, flying saucers, alien abduction. Are we alone? Information regarding this and many other questions about the unknown are only a click away at www.theufostore.com. Theufostore.com offers hundreds of DVDs about UFOs, aliens, crop circles, conspiracies, Bigfoot, suppressed science, ancient mysteries, and the latest DVD releases like Dan Aykroyd, Unplugged on UFOs, and the Alien Files 5 DVD set. TheUFOStore.com also offers the book Roswell, It Really Happened by Jesse Marcel, one of the last survivors of the Roswell UFO crash that examined the spacecraft wreckage in 1947, revealing its hidden secrets. Log on to www.theUFOStore.com and request a free UFO Store catalog. To receive a free catalog by mail, call 541-523-2630. That's 541-523-2630. TheUFOStore.com, the largest selection of UFO products on the internet.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
So, Janice, where are you and Jim going on vacation this summer?
Definitely somewhere with a beach, though who knows if our feet will even touch the sand.
That reminds me, Janice, have you figured out how to talk to Jim about his problem?
No, I want to, but men can be so sensitive.
Well, it's only going to get worse. Remember, I was going through the same thing with Dan. Then I found Mycocide NS.
What's Mycocide NS?
Mycocide NS kills the germs that can cause fungal infections. It worked great for Dan. He had the worst-looking, thick yellow toenails. Now his nails look clear and healthy.
Do I need a prescription?
No, you can get Mycocide NS antifungal treatment in the foot care aisle at any drugstore or major retailer.
And it really worked?
Yep, it worked on me, too. I had some white discolorations on my toe. I just applied Mycocide NS daily. I didn't even have to remove my nail polish.
Sounds easy. I can start planning our beach getaway.
Yeah, Mycocide definitely gave us the confidence to bare our feet again.
Pick up Mycocide NS at drugstores and major retailers. Look for a free bonus gift in each box.
This is Jack Blood with the Genesis Radio Network. I have an urgent message for all of our listeners. The mass media keeps telling us that we are the richest, most powerful economy in the world, quote unquote. If this is true, why can't we pay our bills? Why is the United States the world's largest debtor nation? The truth is that we are in the worst debt bubble in our nation's history. When the bubble bursts, will you be able to feed your family? When the inevitable crash occurs, will you be ready? Call Whitehurst International at 1-888-892-6238. That's 1-888-892-6238 for the following two free reports. U.S. debt bubble, red alert, and real estate crash. Call 888-8-XANADU, that's 888-8-XANADU, and ask for George.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231, that's 800-259-9231, and get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves. Bring up anything, even in these remaining moments. Time is short, but we can still sneak your call in. 800-259-9231. That's 1-800-259-9231. Still Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website, freetalklive.com. Help support the show. We give you everything on our site for free, which is totally different from the way the other talk shows do it. They want to charge you for access, special access to their membership area. Well, we just give it away. But we do ask you to voluntarily support the program. In return, go to amp.freetalklive.com. There is an option there for you to send us $3 a month. If you like the show, if you like what we're doing here on Free Talk Live, you want to help spread Free Talk Live to more radio stations, to more people's internet connections, the AMP program is doing it. Advertise, market, and promote. Again, it's amp.freetalklive.com. You'll get all the details on where we're spending that $3, how we're promoting the show, and you'll also learn about some of the perks that you get as an amplifier. Again, that's amp.freetalklive.com. FreeTalkLive.com. We return to Cindy in Texas. You're back on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Now, Cindy, you said that you have been a government employee in the past. You've been a bureaucrat. And you said that you thought you made a difference. What did you do? Who did you work for? And what was your experience?
Not so much about the bureaucracy as the people who I worked with. I worked with people like myself, helping them to learn to be independent and work, actually go and find jobs, not to be a sponge on society. So,
okay. What bureaucracy
sense,
were you working for?
How is that not productive?
Okay. Vocational rehabilitation.
What bureaucracy were you working for? Is it that hard to remember?
No, it's it changed the name. It was.
Yeah, what was it when you started? Okay, how about that?
Texas Commission for the Blind.
Okay. Texas Commission for the Blind. Okay, now look, I'm not saying, Cindy, that there aren't people within government that can make a small difference in some people's lives. I mean, government is made up of individuals. Most of them are useless wastes of life that do absolutely nothing and suck off the taxpayers' teat. You might have been an exception to that rule, Cindy, and in that case, great. But to suggest that the government has to be the agency to help blind people, I think is, well, I think that's, it's a little myopic, if you would.
No, I didn't actually say that.
I know you didn't say that. I'm just saying to suggest something like that, because if the government wasn't involved in helping blind people, there would be plenty of private organizations, charitable groups, that would be out there doing the same thing. And the fact is, they'd be doing it better, Cindy.
There was a time when there wasn't. That's why the agency was created.
There was a time when there wasn't a not-for-profit for blind people in Texas?
You have, what I'm saying is the concept of, okay, think about this. Back then, many years ago, handicapped people were not exactly seen in society.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't really out there. We were sort of hidden away. We weren't expected to work. We were just sort of kept somewhere, and maybe we'd worked at a job that might be very repetitive, you know, not really things like being a computer programmer or a clerk or...
Yeah.
Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm understanding what you're saying.
They provided something that made things more productive. Yes, now there are different places that are out there now, thanks to those same people that were getting that same training, they created those same different agencies that are not actually government agencies, but private organizations that are
productive.
Are you seeing what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but you're claiming that if it weren't for government, that there would be no private agencies to help crippled people?
Time.
Huh?
I'm claiming that if it weren't for that at that time.
Okay. Well, it's an interesting claim, but, I mean, it's just based in pure speculation, Cindy. The fact is, people in America are really generous folk, and they're more than willing to help people out who are in need, whether they be blind or whether they be homeless or just down on hard luck. People have always turned to charity for help, and I think it's silly to suggest that if it wasn't for government, that there wouldn't be private organizations out there. Thank you for the call, though. We really appreciate hearing from you. And do send us a picture for our Shrine of Female listeners. It'd be much appreciated.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I mean, just to suggest that the government is the agency of altruism, to suggest that the government is the agency to help others, and that's just not the case. People help people because people care about people. It doesn't have anything to do with a coercive agency known as the state.
I have a difficult time believing that the first blind... charity that was in Texas was started by the government, not necessarily a charity, and then all the other charities sprang forth from that. I don't know. It doesn't sound right to me.
It's ludicrous, but even if it's true, it's not a justification for the government program, because government programs take people's money by force and then distribute them how they choose.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I don't get to have any say in how that money is distributed. I may want to help people that need help, but I don't want the government stealing my money and saying, oh, no, don't worry about it. We're helping these people. No. Let me make the decision as to whom I spend my money with, as to who I give my money to. I can make those choices. I'm a big boy.
You know, my wife works at one of these agencies that's all... tulips and dandelions, too. It's, the vocational rehabilitation something or other. And they help people who have had injuries get operations.
Great.
So they can get jobs. Most of them, they find, get the operations. It's the getting the job parts that they have a lot of problem with.
Great. Let them get the help. That's fine. I don't mind helping people. That's
mm-hmm.
good. But the fact is, that same job could be done for less money by a private agency,
mm-hmm.
and it would be done more efficiently by the private agency. That's undeniable.
And the bureaucrats in that agency would not deny it either. My wife says the standards that they set for these people, for her coworkers, are just low as hell.
There you go.
I mean, she says she's blown them all away in her first year.
Let's talk to Jason in California. You're on Free Talk Live. Jason the Communist. Been a while since you've been on the show. Welcome.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, you guys are chasing that poon on the air, huh? I wanted to get that girl to send in her photo. That's all
chasing
cool.
Chasing that poon.
But hey, man, I just wanted to say that, you know, that you guys, you're trying to knock the government, but it definitely provides a lot more benefits than what you guys are letting on to. I bet you especially like the court system, or would you like to get rid of that too?
I would. I'd like to replace it with private arbitration.
I would.
Private arbitration, what happens when it comes down to like people with guns and keeping the peace? You know, I mean, I think that you know, we know here
property,
in Western civilization
if it's private property, man, then you can absolutely keep the peace on your private property with guns if you need to. Sure.
Well, you know what Hobbes said about, you know, when we don't have government, you know, when there isn't some sort of external, you know, force there to enforce the law. Mm-hmm. You know, we live pretty nasty, brutish, short lives, you know, and I think that's sort of like what you guys are advocating.
Uh-huh.
It's almost
like the people in ancient Iceland did. Oh, wait, no, they lived long,
happy
lives.
You know,
and also
I think it's interesting, too, that the social contract was actually something that came up, it was created by Rousseau. And Rousseau, you know, he was a Frenchman. I don't know if
you know. Why don't you link to the social contract on our website so everyone can read it? We'd like
to
know.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, the social contract is something that came up by somebody who was a classical liberal, and classical liberals were the people that started up capitalism or, you know, petty bourgeois, you know, society. And so it seems to me that, you know, again, it's like you just want to turn everything, you know, on its head. I mean, thank God that we have some sort of law out there to make it to where, you know, if somebody steals something from me, that, you know, that they can get it back, that we don't have to have some sort of blood feud between me and,
have you
and
ever
somebody
actually
else.
Wait a minute. Have you ever actually had something stolen from your house?
Yes,
and
I
actually
have.
Had to go to the police for it?
Yes, I have.
Yeah? And
yes,
they got it back for you?
I had a bicycle stolen out of my garage once.
You had a bicycle stolen from your garage, and you went to the cops?
Yeah, I went to the cops,
and
you know,
they didn't
find it. But,
oh,
you know,
well, what are you talking about then, Jason? You know why they didn't find it? Because they don't care about your bicycle,
sure,
dude.
But I've had a car stolen, and they found that. You know,
ooh,
I mean,
where?
Again,
was it
you
in
know,
a ditch?
I mean, what would it be better
where,
to have?
Where'd they find the car,
well,
Jason?
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think it would be better to, you know, have people take the law into their own hands and have some sort of vigilante system?
No,
or would it be better to have, you know, the government out there.
I don't choose either of your answers. Your answer is it's a Hobson's choice. What you're offering here is something I'm not interested in. What I'm interested in is a system of privately created law that's created by the marketplace, by market demand, by people with private property. And that's not one of your choices.
Chaos. But private property presupposes that you have some sort of law in
place. No, sir. Government is chaos. Government, this, what we live in right now is chaos.
Private property, you know, assumes that we have some sort of social contract there, that people will, you know, obey, you know, basically your right to keep, you know, something that you have. You know, I mean, let's say I'm a robber, right? I put a gun in your face and say, blow your head off, right? And I steal what you got. You know, I mean, I take what I want by force.
Good luck. You're probably not going to live a very long, happy life doing things like that, Jason.
Well, I don't know. I think there's been a lot of mafioso guys out there.
Yeah, they're in the government.
But, you know, and it's even despite the government, you know, to me it just seems that you're supporting some sort of gangster system that,
hardly,
you know, would
the
never
work.
You know,
today,
I say thank God for our government.
It's amazing to me that you don't see the system that we have today as a gangster system because, sir, that's exactly what it is. It is a gang of violent thugs enforcing their way on everyone totally unilaterally. That's what the government is.
Well, I think that the government is there in order to protect, you know, our property.
But they don't. They infringe our property rights. They infringe our freedom,
the government,
and they infringe
there,
all
a lot
of our rights.
More stealing, there'd be a lot more.
Call us again some other time. Thanks for the call. It's been Ian here with you.
And Mark.
That's the irony of government. They're the agency that's supposed to protect us, but in fact, they're the ones that are putting us in danger. We'll see you tomorrow night. Online in the meantime, freetalklive.com.
Republicans took over Congress more than 10 years ago. Since then, the government has grown by $1 trillion. This spending explosion has happened in part because Congress doesn't read the huge bills they pass. I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org. Our new proposal stops Congress from passing bills they haven't read. It's called the Read the Bills Act. The Read the Bills Act will slow Congress down, way down. It's easy for you to help make this bill the law of the land. You can learn more at DownsizeDC.org. That's DownsizeDC.org.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237. If you